News Radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11, Sarika Mehta hosts Intersections Radio, aiming to connect communities through unique and unexpected stories. And at 11:30 on the Radio Zine, we speak with members of the Chilean reggae band Aflora Reggae about the state of the educational system in Chile, the impact of the neoliberal economy, and the exploitation of natural resources, and the intention of their music to promote unity in the world. Thanks for listening to KBOO, and thanks KBOO members for your generous support. If you are not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
And stay tuned now for an in-depth look at live aboard boaters on the Willamette River with KBOO reporter Henry Leisha. Good night, Sam.
Good night, Doug.
Good night, Sequana.
Good night.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Along the lower Willamette, it's common to come across boaters who have made a life for themselves nestled in the banks, coves, lagoons, and channels of the river. These people live on their boats outside the confines of private marinas and boat slips for months or even years on end. Recently, this growing trend of long-term live-aboard boating has caught the attention of local residents and stakeholders. These independent live-aboard boaters have been called aquatic squatters and the floating homeless by local news sources. The Department of State Lands calls them transient use boaters. But the man that I met floating on his boat in the Holgate Channel called himself Phil.
Well, my name is Phil Fake, and I am Portland's pirate river artist. I don't know how many others there are, but I'm one. And I do narrative landscapes of the Portland river environment. I did 4 years in the Navy. And I had 2 years as an ocean-going tugboat bosun mate, and I had 2 years as an illustrator draftsman for an amphibious air traffic control squadron. Then finally, living on boat, which I've done for the last 15 years or so here in Portland.
And can you tell me a little bit about how you ended up here on the Willamette?
Dorothy and I were living in southeast Portland here at the time, and we were operating in the red, and it just wasn't working, and we had to discuss, you know, why are we doing this? And she suggested a mobile home, and I pointed out, well, you're still going to have to pay rent where you put the mobile home. You know, so if you're going to do that, you might as well live on a boat. And she kind of lit up to the idea, and of course, I've always been about boats.
When did live-aboard boaters, when did that phenomenon start to kind of gain ground? When did people
start
to kind of
follow? Well, it's kind of partially my fault. It really is, because I go back, you know, 10, 12 years when my wife and I were beginning to just stay out more than just like on weekends. We stay out for a week at a time. We might stay a little too long at the park and everything else. And we started this trend. My niece came from Phoenix and bought this little boat here, Tinkerbell. She was a young woman leaving home, you know, herself from Phoenix and all of her little puppy dogs, and they lived for 2 years in this little boat, Tinkerbell. But in her way out, she dropped off this boat to a young man by the name of, we call him Captain Finger. Captain Finger then dropped himself, painted it gray, and dropped himself for better part of a decade in downtown Portland underneath the Hawthorne Bridge, and became the flagship for what people don't like about people who have just camped in their boat on the river. He became, he was right downtown. And then with some other friends that I happen to know, these boats over here were bought, and other boats were bought, and another guy helps other people, and pretty soon all of my anchorages are full of boats. And but
so kind of a network started? Is
it sort of just like became a network, and so everybody who doesn't like paying taxes, and there's one or two Americans that don't, decided, well, I could do that. And you don't pay rent when you live on a boat. You do when you go to the slip. And I own two slips, so I pay real estate taxes just like anybody else, because I pay it through the marina. But yeah, the media took off. All of them tagged onto this whole thing, and pretty soon it was advertised in the media. So anybody that thought about it said, well, that's easy. And pretty soon you had a whole fleet downtown. And
one of the more recent additions to the independent liveaboard community is a man by the name of Than Monk. He and his family first started living on the Willamette in August of 2013.
My name is Than Monk. I'm a painter and a sculptor and a photographer. I've been an artist my whole life. I'm a cook by trade. I have been, again, for most of my adult life. Let's see, about 12 years ago now, I got an idea to build a boat and see if I could live deliberately and be responsible for my own needs and accountable for my own waste and those kinds of things. It started out as a wild idea, and it just continued to evolve. Went through a bunch of different design changes. Took about 8 years of planning and about 4 years of execution. And part of that was halfway through the build, my son showed up. And so that changed our finances and changed the amount of time that I had to build considerably. But yeah, it was the labor of love. There were many times I felt like burning it and just scrapping the whole idea because I have no previous experience doing this. I was expecting a lot of mechanical failure, like I said. I was expecting a lot of difficulty in learning how to anchor and those kinds of things. I wasn't expecting the social, first indifference and then outright rage and anger that someone could be living for free and that not have to pay rent or bills. I wasn't expecting the backlash that I got from the people, from the state. Most people that see the boat think it's wonderful. Just pulling up to the dock today, everyone's, oh, that's amazing. Where'd you get that? Oh, I made it. You made it? Wow, you know? And then there's the people that say you're a bunch of freeloaders and you're living for free and we pay for all this. And it's like, no, actually you don't. Someone wrote a nasty note on our dock receipt. We had paid to be at River Place Marina and they wrote something nasty about the boat was visually polluting the dock on the receipt that we had used to pay it. I don't think the irony of that sunk in to the person who was writing it or if they were even aware of what they were writing on. But yeah, I was not expecting this kind of social difficulty. I was expecting mechanical issues. I figure, you know, first time building a boat, there's going to be something I did wrong. For everyone, there are some things that are difficult, like hauling your own water, dumping your own sewage. But yeah, I think that the biggest struggle we've had is the social backlash.
Not everyone is thrilled about the presence of these independent liveaboard boaters. In the last 2 years, the Department of State Lands has received numerous complaints about pollution, safety, and the impact that these boats have on the surrounding scenery of the Willamette River. However, Than believes that the state is making it difficult for people to live on the river responsibly.
There are no places to fill water on the river. They've shut all of them down in an attempt to stop people from living the way we're living. Same thing with pump outs. We have a pump out, but we don't use it. We have a portable toilet, and it was designed that way on purpose. The pump out was for our gray water tanks, and of course we can't use any of the pump outs. So all of the ones, even the public ones, have been shut down in the city. There is a public one. The last one that's still public is at River Place Marina, and anyone that tries to use it gets shooed off of the dock by the harbor master or the security. Even though it's public and it says so, they're not allowed to use it. And there is no place to fill water at all unless you belong to a marina. How do I say this? The people that live aboard their boats, they try to make it as difficult as possible to get the basic necessities that you need. It's like being homeless. It's not illegal to be homeless, but everything that you do when you're homeless, like laying on the sidewalk, is illegal. So it's the same idea.
Although Phil and Than believed that the city had been making life difficult for independent boaters living on the Willamette, they didn't feel that their right to live on the river was threatened until much more recently.
About 2 months ago now, in the beginning of June, we received a visit from the sheriffs that we knew. We know River Patrol by name. We talk to them all the time because we're out on the river together. And one of them brought up someone from the State Department who wanted to speak to me. Woke me up. I was laying in bed with my son. Woke me up. And they handed me a pamphlet, including a trespass warning, said that we were trespassing on state lands and that we had two choices. We could move to an authorized location, or we could move 5 miles progressively further from where we were. I actually asked the guy, I'm like, now, wait a minute. By that interpretation of the rule, my family would be forced off the river in a couple of months. He looked at me in the face, smiled, and said, yes. And so I'm like, well, where are we supposed to go? And the sheriff's like, well, can you go to a marina? I'm like, no, we can't get insurance. The boat is home built. No one will insure us. So essentially this, it sounds to me like this rule that they're trying to enforce is a deliberate ban on independent liveaboards. I don't want to think that. I don't want to think that the legislators made it that way on purpose, but someone did.
Apparently, the state had changed the rules on transient use boating in 2013 without Than knowing. Phil explains.
So the original rule is you can anchor in a place for 30 days and then you need to move. But there was no distance in the move. It could be 1 inch. Anchors move that much from tide and current. So there's really no enforceability here. So then the Department of State Land came up with this rule that after you've been at an anchorage for 30 days, you have to move 5 miles away. Now, if you tried to do that legally, there isn't 60 miles of lower Willamette River to go to. You can't physically do it and be on the Willamette River.
I contacted the Department of State Lands to hear their side of the story.
My name is Lori Warner Dickinson, and I'm the operations manager for the Aquatic Resource Management Program at Department of State Lands. Yeah, the rule was changed to clarify what transient use means. We found a need to define it so that we could, you know, appropriately manage the use of the waterway. So, you know, the idea is if folks want to adopt a river lifestyle, they really need to, you know, stay for short periods of time in one place. Otherwise, they need to rent a slip somewhere where they can lawfully stay.
Recently, I spoke to someone who has been living on the river on his boat, and he said he received a visit from someone from the Department of State Lands named Justin, and he was issuing a notice of trespass. What was the purpose of these visits and of the boats issuing these trespass notices?
So we started in June doing some outreach to make people aware that if they had been in a location for more than 30 days, it constituted trespass and they needed to move, we could potentially take enforcement action.
And so why did you decide now to issue this information and start this dialogue as opposed to when the rule was redefined, the transient use rule was redefined as 30 days and 5 miles?
You know, it's a matter of, you know, we were getting a lot of complaints. So, you know, the decision to start taking some action was really driven by the volume of complaints that we received from the public.
Mm-hmm. And so what is the purpose of enforcing this rule of moving 5 miles after 30 days and then not allowing boaters to return to that anchoring site for 1 year?
Well, that particular rule is consistent with rules that were adopted in Washington. And we do have some interface, particularly on the Columbia with Washington. Folks would be on one side and then they'd go to the other side. So we wanted to be consistent with Washington.
When Than received his notice of trespass, he also contacted the Department of State Lands, and they told him the same thing, that they were just trying to keep the rules consistent with Washington. But after some research, he found that
the rules aren't even close. They're subtly different in so many ways that they are effectively different rules.
In Oregon, boaters may spend 30 consecutive days in a 5-mile stretch of river before they must move on. After those 30 days, they are not allowed to return to that 5-mile stretch for 12 months. In Washington, however, boaters may spend 30 consecutive days in a 5-mile stretch and no more than a total of 90 days in that stretch over the course of 1 year. This wording of the rule would allow boaters like Than and Phil to move around the Willamette without being banned from 5-mile sections for 1 year.
The differences are subtle. One, I can comply with. 90 days in Milwaukee, 90 days near Selwood, 90 days near downtown, and 90 days up by Kelly Point Park, and that's the entire year. That's still, I don't have to leave the Willamette. I can still take my boat to work. I'm not being forced out into the Columbia or halfway to Astoria before my time is up, and then being consecutively banned from those locations continuously. So I'm pretty sure that they tried to make it similar to the rule in Washington. I think they tried to make it match and didn't understand the full values that they were trying to match. And so the wording being subtly different amounts to an effective ban.
One of the arguments the Department of State Lands makes is that there are ways to live on your boat without anchoring in public waterways. The Department of State Lands on the website, there's a brochure about liveaboard boating, and it suggests that people planning to live on their boat should, as you said, find a marina or a moorage that accepts liveaboard boats. Do you know if there are any marinas on the Willamette that allow people to live on their boats?
I'm not aware of any specific marina, but I think there are some.
Than says otherwise.
There aren't any. There aren't any liveaboard slips in the entire city limits. The closest ones are out in Scappoose. So it's a catch-22. You can go to any authorized locations, but there aren't any authorized locations.
And as for those who believe that boaters such as Than and Phil prevent fair access to the waterways?
There is no way that my presence in any of the coves around here would stop anyone from using the beach, from using the cove, from anchoring in next to me or alongside us. There's no way that our presence on the river would restrict anyone from using the river, either on the beach, on the docks, or actually on the river. We don't.